this morning, the worth of the Lord. Scripture says this, Matthew 13, beginning in verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. May the Lord add his blessing this morning to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. And as you are seated, the children from kindergarten through sixth grade are dismissed for children's church this morning. And as Jesus did, we as well join with his example and bless the children as they go. And may we this morning have the same kind of faith, childlike faith, as the children go to listen, as we would seek to hear what the Lord has to say to us this morning. Last week, Derek shared about the purpose of parables, what parables are all about, because over the next weeks, we will be looking in Matthew 13 about the parables of the kingdom. And you will notice a phrase, though it's not explicitly in Matthew 13, in the 1 through 9 and 18 through 23 that we will look at this morning. The concept is there, but the rest of the parables have this phrase, the kingdom is like. And so Jesus using parables helps us to understand what the kingdom of God is like. And this is this first one about the parable of the sower, the parable of the seed, the parable of the soils is very important because it really sets a stage for where the rest of the parables go of how we both receive and respond to the word of God so that the kingdom of God might come. And so over these next weeks, we will be looking at the parables of the kingdom. The kingdom is like. Sermon notes are in your bulletins. There's a few fill-ins, but there will be more that you can fill in on your sheets there from the screen. But the story is told about a lawyer, a doctor, and a preacher who all went out hunting. They each, as they went out, had the same gun and the same ammunition. They walked into the woods, and as they walked into the woods, to their surprise, there stood before them the largest trophy buck they had ever seen. In the excitement of the moment, they all pulled up their gun, they all turned off the safety, and they all shot at the exact same time. Same gun, same ammo, same shot at the same time. And immediately, as they pull the trigger and the gun goes off, the deer drops. As they go to see the deer that had just been shot, this trophy buck, they look at the deer, they examine the deer, and they found that only one bullet had found its target. Three guns identical, three identical ammunition at the same time. How do you figure out when only one hit its target, how do you figure out who got the buck? Well, the lawyer, he began to argue that it was his. The doctor then came over and he began to carefully examine this trophy buck that had just been downed, and he looked at it for a moment and he stood up slowly and turned to the lawyer and the preacher and said, "The preacher got it." Well, the lawyer and the preacher said, "Well, how do you know? How do you know that the preacher got it?" He said, "Well, it went in one ear and out the other." I hope that's not what happens this morning. I pray that's not what happens this morning. But here's the reality of possibility. Brothers and sisters, we can go to church every Sunday morning. We can hear the message of God being declared regularly in sermons. We can daily read scripture, even large amounts of scripture. We can attend Bible studies. We can watch sermons online or listen to podcasts. We can have Christian radio on all day long or in the car, wherever we drive, and not experience life in the kingdom of God. All because what we hear may go in one ear and out the other. The message is heard, but it's not received and responded to in a way that welcomes the kingdom of God into our lives. You see, in order for the kingdom of God to really come in a person's life, the message must not just be heard, it must be received, and it must be responded to in a way that the Holy Spirit is bringing that message to be responded to. This morning, we want to look at not just hearing, but receiving and responding to the message of the kingdom. As we will go through these next messages on the kingdom of God is like, in all of these parables, it's important that we begin at this point, that we understand the point of the parable. We understand the point of the parable. So here is the parable, to read it one more time so you can hear it and begin to be able to receive and respond. Beginning in verse 3, Jesus says it this way: "A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering that seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed, it fell among the thorns, which grew up and then choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The characters in this parable are this. You have a farmer. The farmer represents Jesus, or represents God, as he is in the process of scattering. And what is he scattering? He's scattering seed. The seed represents the word of God. So Jesus is the farmer who is scattering the word of God. The word for word or message, however it is translated in your translation in this passage, is the word logos, which is this Greek idea for the concepts and the truths that are being shared, that are being spoken out. The word of God can be, in Scripture, proclaimed in many different ways. Psalm 19:1 talks about how the word of God is declared in creation. The heavens pour forth speech. God reveals and speaks to us through creation, saying, "Here I am. I am the one who has created all these things." The word is declared through creation. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 tells us that in the past, God spoke through the prophets, that the Old Testament prophets declared and spoke the word of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 talks about all scripture is like a double-edged sword that pierces, dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. Scripture, the Lord speaks to these words that have been written and inspired by God using human beings to write down the word of the Lord. Jesus told us of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verse 13, how he will speak and he will lead us into truth. Friends, one of the primary ways that God speaks is through scripture, through the words on the page. It is why we gather on Sunday mornings and there is a preacher who declares these words that have been written on the page to be able to share the word of God. But I want to encourage you as well, while this is the primary and regular way that the Lord speaks, to also be aware that the Lord speaks through creation. And he has spoken through the prophets, and he speaks through the Holy Spirit to us still today. But it's all in speaking about Jesus and about the kingdom he has brought and about the kingdom that he is bringing. Brothers and sisters, let us be people who listen to the word, the seed that is being scattered. The final character in this is the soil. The soil represents us, represents the heart or the soul of the human being, the man, the woman, the child, who hears the word of the Lord, and it is implanted in the soil of the human heart, of the soul, to be able to hear, to be able to hopefully receive, and then to respond. And so the meaning in all of these, the meaning is important. You see, what Jesus is conveying to us in this passage, in this parable, is that the seed and the soil have the potential for life within them. But they need each other. You see, when the seed is implanted in the soil in the presence of moisture and in light, there is this miracle that happens of the seed germinating and coming to life. Everything that is needed for that seed is contained in it to bring life. If you have a bulletin in front of you, there is a scripture passage that is on that front inside, Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. And it helps us to understand what happens when the seed and the soil come together. Jesus says it this way. It's a parallel passage right before Mark 4, 26 to 29, is Jesus talking about this very parable, the parable of the sower in the Gospel of Mark. He goes on to say this. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, and night and day, whether this man sleeps or whether he gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how." Hear this phrase. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. All by itself. There is life that is contained in the seed and in the soil, but apart from each other, they are not going to produce anything. They need each other for the miracle of this life to come. It happens all by itself when these two come in contact with each other. The seed has everything that it needs to bring the kingdom. The word of God has everything it needs to bring the kingdom of God in a life. But there's a variable. The variable is the seed. Or is the soil, sorry. The growth of the seed is dependent on the kind of soil that is present and its receptivity to the seed. The seed has everything it needs. That's God's part. The soil is the variable. That's our part. Everything needed for the kingdom to come is present in the word, but it will only come to the degree that the soil, or the person who hears the word, is both willing to receive it and respond to it as the Holy Spirit leads. The different results that we'll look at here in the next moments in this parable represent the different kinds of soil or the different kinds of people and their response or their receptivity to the word of God. So let's look at each of these together as we moving from the parable into the meaning. The meaning and scene puts us in a place where we want to ask the Lord, we want to ask the Holy Spirit, what kind of soil is my heart? So that we are able to decide our response. And the first response that we can have, the first kind of soil is a soil and a response of without understanding. Verse 19 says, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed along the path. This seed it fell on hard outlying path because there is a lack, Jesus says, of understanding. It's important for us to note and to remember, if you were here last week, that this lack of understanding is not because of an inability to understand. There's two people groups that Derek helped us to see and to understand last week. You have one people group as the disciples. If you go back to verse 11 where we looked at last week, the disciples in verse 10 says they came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but not to them. You have one group of people, the disciples, who long to know, who long to understand what the purpose and the meaning behind what Jesus is saying in these parables were. But you have another group of people. You have the crowds. And the crowds in verses 13 through 15 are described in this way, fulfilling the words of Isaiah the prophet. Jesus says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they don't see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. This is the in one ear and out the other. In them was fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but you'll be never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. You see, this is a group of people. The crowds were a group of people. They were not hungry to press in. They were not willing to seek until they found it. Jesus was more than willing to heal if they would turn to him. This was not a, we're casting them away. It's just, this is the state. They are fulfilling the words of Isaiah the prophet, that they hear it, they see it, but they don't really hear it. They don't really see it. They don't seek after it. They don't hunger. They do not understand, not because they are not able, but because they really did not want to. They were lazy in their hunger, lazy in their seeking. So friends, let me ask you this morning, how do you respond to the things in Scripture or the things spiritually in your life when you don't understand? Are you like the crowds? Do you hear something that you don't understand and go, I don't get it, and then give up? Would your life spiritually be characterized as lazy in your seeking after God, lacking hunger and thirst for his kingdom and his righteousness? Or would you say, I am like more the disciples who, as we read in verse 10, came to Jesus and they asked the question, why do you speak to the people in parables? Are you willing to search when you don't understand? Are you willing to dig? Are you willing to wait upon the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit, the one who Jesus promised, I will send the Spirit and he will lead you into all truth? The one who allows us to have wisdom and understanding. Do you seek? Do you dig? Do you ask questions? Do you look to others who may have answers to the things that you don't understand that can help you come alongside of you for the things you don't? See, it's not a matter of do you have lack of understanding, because I think all of us, there are things in our spiritual lives where we would say, I don't understand that. It's something I am still learning. It's something I'm still grappling with. Do you say that and say, Lord, help me. I want to know. Or do we say, I don't get it, and oh well. The action to take, if our soil is hard, is to tend to the hard soil. To be humble and to be hungry. See, the way to break up hard soil in the heart is to come to the Lord in humility, and maybe even to come before others in humility and say, I don't understand. Or maybe it's a lack of hunger and thirst and be able to come to the Lord and be able to come to others and say, I am just, my hunger level is low. My want of God, my want of the things of the kingdom is low right now. Would you help me? Would you help come alongside of me? Would you pray with me and would you pray for me? Tending to the hard soil is an act of humility and hunger. When I was in college, if you've heard me talk about my days playing baseball in college, there was a guy on my team who really, when it came to both skill and just overall ability in baseball, he was pretty low on the talent level, the skill level when it came to our team. He was a second baseman, but there were probably two or three guys who were ahead of him, and left by himself, he was probably not going to see the field very much, but he was on the team. There's something about this guy, though, that he recognized his ability level, he recognized his skill level, but he had hunger. He wanted more than anything to play second base for our team, to be able to be the one that our team depended on in that position. He wanted to help our team win. And so when you got to practice, he had already been there. He was already swinging. He was already throwing. He had already run sprints. He had already gotten a couple miles in ahead of practice. And then we went through practice, and everyone went through all of our drills and worked in our positions and all those kinds of things. And then practice was over, and he stayed after. He got the coaches to hit him ground balls. He got the coaches to help him with his swing. He got his coaches to be able to throw batting practice to him. He wore out the coaches. But at the same time, he also endeared himself to the coaches. And by the second year of his time at the school, he was playing regularly at second base. And the guys who were ahead of him, who had more skill, who had more natural talent, they were the guys who were sitting on the bench. Because he was humble enough to say, I recognize my place on this team, but I'm not satisfied with my place on the team. And he had hunger and passion, and he did what was necessary to improve himself. Now, he may have did all of that and still may not have played more. The point really is not how much he played. The point is that he went after and he got every ounce of potential out of him that was put into him by God. The question for us is, what is the level of our soil? Is it hard? Are we without understanding? And if we are, is there a humility to admit that and a hunger to go after it? One pastor said it this way: you will only find in the kingdom of God what you are hungry and seeking for. Let me say that again. You will only find in the kingdom of God what you are hungry and seeking for. The hard soil, the without understanding response. The second kind of soil is found in verses 20 and 21. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places, the rocky soil, is the one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The second kind of soil is that rocky soil, and the response is to fall away in hard times. The soil that is rocky receives the word and receives it with joy. You may have seen people like this. You may even find yourself in this space where you say, oh, that was so good. I'm so happy to hear that. Wonderful news. But the soil is rocky. The soil of the heart, because it is rocky, it's not possible for the plant to put down deep roots. And because there isn't a deep root system, when the hot sun comes, it scorches it, and there's nothing in the root system to be able to reach out into the soil to grab and to bring in the water and the nutrients that are necessary to live. And so it withers up and it dies. It's interesting that Jesus says that the rocky soil, the person with rocky soil in the heart, that receive that word with joy but fall away, the reason they fall away is because of the word. Because of the word, trouble and persecution come. And so as a result, when whether it's doubts or Derek talked last week about unmet expectations, we expect Jesus to do something in some way. And so there's this rocky soil. And when he doesn't do it the way we thought he would or should, we find ourselves in difficulty. We find ourselves withering up and falling away. Maybe it's the cost of following Jesus. Persecution comes, and a person withers and falls away. If our soil this morning, the soil of our heart, is rocky, there needs to be some digging around and pulling out the things that are rocky in our soil. We may need to take some time to align our expectation with what Jesus says we should expect. You may have heard the message that when you become a Christian, life's just going to be wonderful and great. There's a whole message out there, the health and wealth prosperity gospel, that Jesus came to make your life wonderful and you're going to be wealthy and healthy and all of these things. That's what you're going to get. Well, Jesus said that in this world you will have, fill in the blank, trouble. That there will be, when you live for Jesus the way he calls you to live, there will be people, there will be a world system that opposes the way that you live. Because Jesus says, if the world hated me, they'll hate you. And so if we are expecting, oh, I came and I followed Jesus and now my life is going to be wonderful, and the first time the expectations of sickness or disease first time we run into a rough patch in relationship with others, the first time there's suffering or persecution because of the word, we begin to have these questions of, well, that wasn't what I signed up for. And this rocky soil of our heart, when the hard times come, when suffering comes, when persecution comes, when what we are expecting about a wonderful, easy life doesn't materialize, and there's been no roots that go down to find the wellspring of life that is in Christ, then it withers up and falls away. Doing the hard work of recognizing our expectations and aligning our expectations with Him, or realizing that the sin that we didn't really care about before, we now have that nagging conviction from the Holy Spirit that we got to deal with that thing. That before we would have just engaged in that sinful behavior and not thought anything of it. But when you come to Christ, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God begins to whisper, there's a better way. It's the way of the Lord. Repent and come away from it. And it is hard. And so doing the deep work of ridding the rocks from our soul out does lead to blessing in Christ, but it's not always easy. So is your soil this morning rocky? Which will lead to a response of falling away when times get hard. The third kind of soil is found in verse 22, and it is the response of trusting in temporal things. Verse 22 says, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns, the third soil is thorny soil, is the man or woman who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. This soil is thorny. It hears the word, but it is unfruitful because the thorny plants wrap themselves around it. Whereas the rocky plants wither and die, the plants in the thorny soil, they grow up. There's life there, but they don't produce fruit. They're kind of like my plants in my office. I am not a green thumb. I've already lost at least one. Debbie is laughing because she sees them and she tries to revive them for me. But they're alive. But you would not look at it and go, wow, that's a healthy plant. There's not a lot of fruit that's happening in it. It's alive, but it's not in a good place. I would say that this kind of soil, this thorny soil, is the predominant place of soil, the predominant kind of soil in the church. Where there's a plant, there's life there, but fruit, there isn't fruit. There isn't a lot that is being produced that looks like Jesus. Where the kingdom is coming in a way that you go, wow, the kingdom is coming. You may say, church is coming. How many know that church and the kingdom can be two radically different things? The kingdom is coming. And so there can be many who have this thorny soil. There's life in a plant, but fruit, there's not much kingdom fruit. And so if that is the place, Jesus talks about the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth are the things that choke it out from bearing fruit. The worries of life, the things that we fear. How many of us fear? We see the world and we fear. We see our kids' situations and we fear. We see financial things in the stock market or in our 401k or in our bank account or our paycheck, and we go, oh, I'm not so sure. We fear. We see health problems, and we fear and we worry. We see all of these things in the world. We see all of these things around us, and so we worry. And we spend all of our time trying to find safety and security in things or in people or in money. And I think Jesus links these worries too with the deceitfulness of wealth, because there is this temptation that if I just have more money, I can address this thing and find a safer way to live. If I can just get the right political person in office, then our worries and our fears will be alleviated. Things will be okay if we have the right person or the right people in charge. If the military does the right things in the right way, if the right spending is in the right way, we are going to be safe. Do you see how that chokes out fruitfulness? We're running after things that are not things of the kingdom. And so tending to the soil, tending to the thorny soil, requires that we do the hard work of our soul to be like, what are the things that I worry about that are keeping me from seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness? What are the things that I am trusting in and giving my allegiance to that rival Christ? And what am I doing in the area of my finances? What am I doing in the area of running after wealth to find that safety and security? You know, it's been said that rich people depend on wealth for security, and poor people long for it for security. Either way, it's deceitful. Either way, it promises something that it can never, ever deliver. And so fight against the fears by doing the hard work of sitting before the Lord and asking him, Lord, where am I not resting in your care? And fight against the trappings of wealth. To, as the Apostle Paul says, be content in all circumstances. Practice generosity. You know, one of the greatest ways to battle against the deceitfulness of wealth is to be a generous person. As much as the Lord asks us to give a tithe in worship, it's our way of depending on him and saying, Lord, everything that I have is not from me, it's from you, and so I give back. And if you are giving in generosity, a tithe, if you are giving offerings to missions, if you are seeking the Lord for maybe how to be a part of Project Reimagine, or looking for the poor around you and how you meet the needs of the poor around you financially with what God has given to you, whether it's in finances or in time, there's something that happens. The more you are looking to give, the less money has a hold on you. But if you are sitting and saying, this is mine, I can't give because of this, your security is in your wealth. So giving becomes one of those ways to break up that thorny soil as we place our trust in the Lord and not in wealth. Thorny soil, the response is trusting in temporal things, but lastly, the fruitful soil. And the decision is to be receptive and fruitful. Verse 23, that the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the one who hears the word and they understand it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is good, fertile soil that represents the one who hears and understands the word of God and leads them to a response led by the Spirit to what they hear. The crop that happens in that good soil is many more times than what was sown, and it comes naturally. See, the kingdom comes to a life that works on the soil of their heart, who rids themselves of the hard places, of the rocky places, of the thorny places, And may I propose as well, works even on the fertile places to make it more fertile. Sometimes we can get to the place where the hard places have been broken up and the rocks have been removed for the most part. There's still small ones that are left. The thorny ones have been dealt with. And we get to a place where we say, my soil's pretty good. And we get on cruise control. And we don't tend to the soil of our heart because there's nothing glaring. There's nothing I see that's real hard, or there's not a lot of rocks anymore, or there's not a lot of thorny things in my life. And so we're like, I got good soil, I'm good. Friends, I think this is why Jesus says 160-30, because there's always levels of increase in fruitfulness as we respond to what he is saying in our lives. So even if we are in a receptive and fruitful place, the challenge is always to say, Lord, what is it next? How is my soil more receptive? What do you want to do deeper? Where are the things that I don't see that you want to do a deeper work in my soul, in my heart, so that we continually tend the soil of our hearts? Because the measure of fruitfulness, really, in the kingdom, has no limit. The kingdom should never be boring. There's always more. There's always more. Close with this. There was a farmer who planted two fruit trees on opposite sides of his property. One he planted to provide a hedge to hide this unsightly view that he had of a landfill that was right on his property line. The other he planted near a stream on the total other side of his property that he wanted to plant to provide a place of quiet and cool and rest. And over the years, those two fruit trees grew to the point where they were both producing fruit. And he went out one day to the one near the landfill and he picked some fruit there and thought, I'll eat some of that at the end of the day. Took it home. At the end of a long day, he's sitting on the porch of his house. He takes that piece of fruit and he bites into it and it is bitter. It doesn't taste right. When he looks at it, it's even a little bit deformed. He has to spit it out because it tastes so off. And frustrated by this fruit that has been produced on this tree that he has planted, he decides to take a walk and he goes down to the other side of his property to the fruit tree that is near the stream. And as he goes down and he gets some fruit, he finds that it is pleasing to the eye and it is symmetrical and it just looks really, really nice. And he takes a bite and it is so good, so crisp, so juicy, so pleasing. He takes more off the tree and he takes it home to share it with his family. And the farmer realized something that he knew already, that the soil influences the fruit. We understand that when it comes, if it's landfill soil, ugh, you're going to taste landfill. But if it's by a stream, cool, nutrient-filled soil, that's where good fruit is. Friends, this morning, simply ask, as the word, the seed of the word is scattered, what is your soil? What is the soil of your heart? And understand this morning that no matter where you find yourself in those soils, Jesus is saying, I'm scattering because I want there to be fruit. I want there to be fruit. I want the kingdom to come in increasing ways in your life. He scatters so that it is received. And he asks us, because the seed has everything it needs to be able to produce the fruit of the kingdom, he asks us to join with him in tending the soil of our hearts so that we might bear fruit. fruit that lasts. So Jesus, this morning, we thank you that everything that is needed to produce the kingdom in us is found in the seed of your word. And Lord, even this morning, I just humbly before you say, take the seed that was scattered. You're the one who does it. You're the one who takes it by your spirit to implant it in the hearts of those, my brothers and sisters, who are here this morning. May it find soil that will bring a harvest.